Grace to you and peace from our God in heaven. Amen. About a year ago at this time, in the middle of winter, in the middle of night, I was awakened in my bed by the crash of what sounded to be a great bowling pins exploding. Well, more accurately, my wife was awakened by the crash of bowling pins. And she alerted me and got me up and said, "I think you need to check that out." So I got up and went over in my drowsy state to the slider. And I opened the slider out toward our pool. And what should presented before me but a brand new Sebring convertible with its lights on sitting there in our pool with a drunk driver inside of it who had crashed through our back fence. And while I was trying to help the driver, talking to him, getting him out of the car, Beth quickly went over to the phone and dialed 911. Now, we happen to have had Vonage phone service at the time, which is an internet phone service. So when we dialed 911, they put us on hold. Because they didn't know what our area code was, she had to look it up. It took about 10 minutes from dialing 911 to get the police, basically. And basically, when you dial 911, you really expect someone to be on the other end of the line, ready to go with no other jobs in their life but to answer the 911 emergency call, right? Yeah, and so we changed phone services. But, you know, 911, emergency, you expect an answer. It's kind of like the man who dialed the suicide hotline and they put him on hold. You know, "I'm sorry, sir, your call will be answered in the order in which it was received." Yeah, right. I'm dying here. Well, today, Jonah has an emergency 911 call to God. Will God answer that call for him? Will he answer your emergency calls? Or will he put you on hold? Jonah chapter 2, it says this. Now just listen to the imagery here. Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, "I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and thou didst hear my voice." Now I want you to close your eyes for a moment, and just picture what is really going on here as he sinks down into the darkness. "For thou didst cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood was round about me. All thy waves and thy billows passed over me." Picture looking up at the sea, at the surface, which was probably still stormy from the great storm, now quieting down, and he's sinking, and it's getting higher and higher, the rolling waters. "All thy billows passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out from thy presence. How shall I again look upon thy holy temple? The waters closed in over me. The deep was round about me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever." How about that? Is that a 911 call? You know who wrote this? I believe it was Jonah. Who else would know? But the imagery here is of an emergency distress call to God. He is dying. This is the imagery of death. Think about the imagery here in Jonah. Now, when you think of the ocean, how many people here love the ocean? Passionate about the sea. I think all of us that live here, we think of fishing, boating, swimming, seashells, sparkling sunlit water, beautiful morning, vast freedom of an open blue, going to the stretching horizon. But you know, in the Bible, the imagery of the sea is something wholly different. Let me give you some examples. Even though God created the sea and it's beautiful, the imagery, metaphor for the sea is really something very dark. For example, in Isaiah 57, God says, "The wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot rest, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." Check out this one. Job chapter 13 of the wicked again, it says, they are like wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their shame, wandering stars for whom the nether gloom of darkness has been reserved forever. And then, of course, you're all well familiar with Luke chapter 8. It says here that they got into the boat to go to the other side. And as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep, and a storm of wind came down upon the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. So the image of the sea and the great deeps is not one that we would have necessarily of a happy water skiing. It is one of darkness, of chaos. The sea is a place of chaos, the abode of the great Leviathan, sea creature, and also death. And so when this is a 911 call from Jonah to God, this is a cry from the belly, ultimately, of chaos, death and the grave of all darkness. And what do we see here in this 911 call, 911 call, and what you might cry to the Lord from the belly of your fish and your various life's turmoils, and especially from the grave? It says, I called to the Lord out of my distress, and He answered me. He answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. And it says, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet thou didst bring up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. What a wonderful word God has for us. That when we cry to Him on the emergency 911 distress call in prayer, that God doesn't put you on hold. He answers you, hears you, and saves you. And especially, it's written in Joel chapter 2, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in Romans chapter 10, Paul interprets that for us. That name is Jesus. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. So in this 9/11 distress call, you can be as certain God Himself hears you and does not put you on hold. So He cares about these big matters and emergency distresses, both of death, which you face, but also of your present life, bellies of the fish. You been in one? You going to be in one? Are you in one? So He cares about the big things. Will He answer your calls for the little ones too? Got a cell phone here. Are you called upon the Lord lately? Would He care about the little things? Well, you know, when it comes to people, we might say something like this. Call me if it's an emergency, but otherwise don't bother me no more. Leave me alone. Let me sleep, right? Is that the way our God is? Jerry Seinfeld. Okay? Here's what he says. I love this. The downside of the message is it usually means somebody wants something from you. There's two types of favors. The big favor and the small favor. You can measure the size of the favor by the pause that a person takes after they ask you, do me a favor. Small favor, small pause. Can you do me a favor? Hand me the pencil. No pause at all. Big favors are, could you do me a favor? 8 seconds goes by. Yeah, what? Well, the longer it takes them to get to it, the bigger. Right? I like that. Well, and then therefore he says, I love my phone machine. I wish I was an answering machine. I wish if I saw somebody on the street and I didn't want to talk to them, I would just go, excuse me, I'm not here right now. Just leave a message and I can walk away. Well, that's the way people are. They want the big but not the small details. But guess what? God is entirely of a different nature. God is not bothered by your small details of your life. In fact, He's told us in the Holy Scriptures why even all the hairs of your head are all numbered. Even if they are disappearing in number, He knows how many you have on your head, how many you've lost today. It also says in the Scriptures, every careless word that you utter shall be brought into judgment. God even searches the depths of your heart and soul. He knows every little detail about you. He knows the words upon your lips before you even mouth them. God cares about the infinite details of your life. And so, are you on the phone with Him? You know what? A lot of people in regular life, the parents are waiting for their children to call. You never call no more. Why don't you ever call? Aren't we family? Well, what do you think? Is God like that? Or would God say something like that? For God has commanded us, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares on me, for He cares about you. He wants you to be praying without ceasing, calling Him up and talking with Him all the time. Talk with you in every step and hear everything about your life, even though He already knows about your life before you even speak it. But what we find out is in Jeremiah chapter 2, which I'm going to look up for you here. I think I forgot to put the little pad in. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 2. Oh, here it is. God says this. Can a maiden forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. How about you? Have you been calling upon the Lord? Have you forgotten to give your Father in heaven a call and speak with Him through your days? Have you forgotten Him days without number? Call a little more often? Well, what happens is when people don't call the Lord and don't call upon the Lord, what happens is we start to wander away from God's ways because we're not communicating with Him. We're not in that intimate relationship. And then all of a sudden we get into distress and all of a sudden, hey, Dad, are you there? And we get an answer machine. We get on hold. Why? Because we've wandered away from the Lord. And it says in Isaiah chapter 58, it says, people say to God, why have we fasted and you don't see it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, says the Lord, in the day of your fast you seek your own pleasure. You oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Guess what? Your prayers can be hindered. You can try to call on the Lord and He will not listen to you if you have wandered away from Him and you are straying and set in sins. And so what does God then say in Isaiah 58? It says basically, repent, believe, and do what's right. Isn't this the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, undo the thongs of the yoke, let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke, to share your bread with the hungry and the homeless poor, etc., to cover the naked. It says, then shall your light break forth as the dawn. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, here I am. In other words, the old commercial, right? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I'm wandering away. I'm to the right. I'm over here to the left. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? But God says, repent, confess your sins, believe on me. You're in my will, my ways now. Can you hear me now? And you hear, here I am. Here I am. God hears your prayers, but He wants you to be confessing your sins, believing on His Son, and then walking in an intimate relationship with Him. And then what promise do we have with that? You know, when I called 911 on that night a year ago, Beth eventually gets on the line and talks with the 911 person, and they tried to connect us up with the police, and they did. But we didn't get on there to have a long conversation with the operator, right? We called 911 to get some action, to get a deliverer to come to our house, and indeed they did send it. And guess what? God loves to hear your prayers. He loves to be intimate with you. He wants to hear your heart poured out to Him. That's great. But you're also calling for a purpose. Send help. Send me a deliverer, right? And God's promise is, when you call me, the kingdom of God doesn't consist in talk, but in power. In power, say it. In power, in a deliverer. And God says, call upon me, Psalm 50, in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Psalm 55:16, I call upon God, and the Lord will save me. So, in conclusion then, we call upon God, and he has said in Jonah chapter 2, it says, I called upon the Lord, and he heard my voice, and he brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. Yes, deliverance belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and vomited Jonah out upon the dry land, as it vomited Jesus out on the great day of his resurrection, as according to your prayers and your calling upon the name of Jesus, that you come to live out of the grave forever with your God. In Jesus' name, amen.